So I'm gonna microphone check here.
My name is John. Me had a little one, little one, but the same little one.
Okay.
Mary had a little one, little one, little one. But we sing it with the one.
Mary had a little lamb, the fleece was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
I mean, we're ready now.
Can we mic that?
Yeah.
Why are we not miking her?
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
When is your out time, Jen?
I should probably go.
Oh, no.
I am Philip. First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
And we're here today with Nimblicity. Hello, Nimblicity.
Hello.
And we are here today with, can you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Sam Baker Harris. It's nice to be here.
I'm Sean Dillon.
I'm Adam Litz.
I'm Michael Delaval.
I'm Tom Winter.
And I'm Jen Scott, and I have to go now.
Oh, bye, Jen.
Oh, bye, Jen.
And who are the members who could not be here today?
Maureen Tubbs.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Boehner.
Who just doesn't ever want to come back. I get it. It's fine.
What did you guys do to Jordan?
I don't know. What did we do to Jordan?
Everyone gets a certain amount of Boehner, and we used our sub quick.
You know, it's sad because Jordan is the most nimble member of Nimblicity, so it's sad that we don't have him, I think.
That's wow. Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I would have guessed Dillon. And as always, I am here joined by...
Philip Simondet, the least nimble of Next at Bat. And your host, as always...
is Matthew McLeod, the least nimble of Next at Bat.
Yeah, we're very...
We're both really, really...
Sure.
I mean, we're basically stumps. Hi, Nimblicity.
Hi, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, thanks for being on the show. And thanks for getting so many of you that showed up and one of you that left. Could you tell the listeners at home exactly what your show is all about?
I would say it is a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the overall premise of the show is an office setting, mm-hmm. and the different people that inhabit a corporation on a smaller scale. There are 8 of us total, although we don't necessarily have all 8 at every performance. But the show usually starts off with a meeting of some kind. And we take it from there and have about 45 minutes of fun.
Yeah. It kind of works. I think when we started, we just wanted to play everyday characters. But the more we've done it, the more satirical it's become. We're very heavy into the idea of kind of exposing those little things that go left unsaid in the workplace. And instead, we're saying those things, trying to bring them to the surface.
And it all got started, actually, as it happens, the 5 of us who are actually here on the show all work for the same company in life, and Nimblicity began because we all realized we worked for the same company, and that seemed like a ridiculously good reason to do improv together.
I'm assuming you're talking about you work for improv.
Of course.
Right, yes. Right, course. That's what we mean, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Incorporated.
Right.
No, that's good.
We call it the I word.
Mm-hmm.
Or called it.
And
I'm no longer there.
We would sketch. Yeah, Tom's no longer there, so we can't rehearse on our lunch breaks anymore, even though that only happened twice. And we would have to schedule a room.
And it was weird.
And it was
weird. I mean, let's be honest. We didn't really rehearse. We sort of sat there and talked to each other.
We did one good rehearsal.
But the whole time we were like paranoid because the offices are all open. So you can see into every single office through glass. And every time we would be doing a scene, we'd kind of stop in the middle and like look out of the glass at people walking by. Like, oh, are we going to get in trouble for doing crazy scenes in the middle of the office.
Yeah.
So
we did get some funny looks.
The only time that these rooms have paper covering the glass is when there's mass layoffs, so that you can't see who's being laid off.
Hmm.
So
wow.
You weren't there for that, Sean.
No.
No,
I wasn't either.
No, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Let me just say this about how we all came together at the I Word, our company, my former company. We all kind of knew each other, but not, I didn't know everybody. I knew Sam originally, and then I got to know Michael, and then Adam and Sean finally, after Sam introduced me, because my improv world started nigh on 30 years ago, and I got to know Sam because of the Brave New Workshop connection, and then she introduced me to Sean, Adam, and Michael as they came on board where we were working, and so that's when the idea came to us, well, we should do something, the five of us. So
I believe actually the first words Tom ever spoke to me were telling me to go fuck myself. I kid you not.
I don't remember that.
This seems very unlike you. In what scenario?
He was very passive aggressive. He put it in the framework of someone else. You know, a mutual friend of ours told me to go fuck myself.
Was it CF?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yep.
We're being so obscure with all these initials. It's a guy named Charles Frazier who we both knew, and so Tom came up to me and said, "Hey, Charles Frazier told me to come tell you to." Go fuck yourself.
I was going to say, for a show that is all about exposing the actual stuff that goes on at a company, you're talking very obliquely.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, no, and I understand why. So, that's great. Let's move on from the origins and talk about how you make this work on stage. So, first of all, it's a narrative structure. Do you maintain the same characters and the same history from week to week?
No, we don't. At the top of every week, we're developing a new character and new status and role.
Sure. And so who's the boss or where are the different power structures and stuff like that? Cool. What sort of suggestion do you get from the audience? How does the audience play a role in what you are accomplishing here?
It's kind of evolved over time. Originally, when we started, it was just us five, and we played a couple of the Monsters of Improv shows. And
produced by somebody awesome. I can't remember. He's got great calves.
Yeah, well, thank you. anyway, we played a couple shows, and they went very well. So we started out just getting a suggestion of a product, and we went from there. And that's really how it started, right? And then we had a boardroom meeting based on that product, and then go from there. And when we first started, we played multiple characters, just out of necessity. We go to different locations. I think as we've evolved, we've stayed mostly in the office, but we will go away from it. But we basically stay with the same characters. I don't think they're in this run at Huge. We've played other characters.
No,
Casey Haig.
Casey Haig, yes. She was our
but that was supporting the culture and the environment when we were switching that in, so it made sense. Sorry, Casey, I love you. So by the way, your dog is doing well in my house right now.
We get the suggestion now at the top of the show, and then as the evening progresses, we're basically the same characters in different locations throughout the building, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a closed quarters in that sense.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's or a small town. Some of each.
Yeah, it's a very specific close quarter small town. I mean, call it what you will. Yeah. I mean, really, it's almost more, I think, I always think of it as more of a small town. It's accomplishing more what the small town's trying to do than what the close quarters is trying to do, I think. Am I right?
Yeah, you would be right about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get you issued a correction. I'm sorry.
No. You're absolutely on point. I think it's just that with the location, I think, anytime we have gone outside of work, it's always been work related. So we kind of have a weird criterion that we follow, which is it always has to be a work related. So like no one's going off site to a bar.
Right.
It's going off site to the person's house who works from home.
Right.
So then it's a works space in some way.
Well, like a close quotas. It is also basically happening in real time, more or less. It rarely takes any sort of time jumps. Am I right?
We have had flashbacks. Remember we did the one evening and we kind of flashed back to the beginning, the origins of the company.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
so it has happened. Yeah.
So
that's the exception, not the rule. But yeah.
Yeah.
or we'll jump ahead in the week.
Okay.
So sometimes if you are planting a seed of like the happy hour at the Friday or mm-hmm. the
and then you make the happy hour
the
happen.
The retirement mm-hmm. party. Yeah. Sure. Throwing, yeah. We eventually
we end up eating a lot of cake.
There's a lot of cake and a lot of booze.
Sure.
Metaphorically or actually?
No, we have not had actual cake.
Okay.
Why haven't we had cake together?
I don't know.
I don't know why.
It's just cake. Silly.
Maybe ice cream cake, you guys?
I had an ice cream cake for my birthday last week.
Ooh. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do you have any leftover?
Fantastic. I ate it. I ate all of the leftovers.
That's amazing.
By myself.
Where was it from?
It was from Dairy Queen.
Of course.
Well, right.
The best.
Yeah. Do you get them? I don't know. Is there another place that has ice cream cakes?
If there is, I don't want to know.
Do you want to know?
I would eat an Izzy's ice cream cake.
Ooh, I would do that. Yeah, yeah. They do have them. Although I'm pretty sure Izzy's just goes and buys them from Dairy Queen.
That would be smart. That'd be smart.
Smart. So with the product that you guys are developing, does that take the center stage? Is it the kind of frenetic trying to develop a product to please the bosses sort of thing? Or is it, is it Mad Men or is it, what are you doing?
That's been, a little bit of our challenge that we're still working through and identifying is how to build some of the relationships around it. Because when we're getting that suggestion, I think that that's definitely what's driving us. It's our thread. So mm-hmm. It becomes some of our thread. And so I think what we're still building and working on is having some of our relationships be as important of those threads that are coming through. And mm-hmm. so it very much, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree exactly with what you said. We're trying to work against it becoming all about whatever the product is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
To focus on relationships, to mm-hmm. focus on things other than that. However, for some reason, and I'm guilty of it, mm-hmm. is it's hard to not make it about whatever that concrete object is, some of the scenes. Mm-hmm. So
we have, I think I can think of one set where we really did make it about the thing. And it was, I think, our set that we would probably agree that it probably went the most off the rails.
It just, yeah.
The suggestion was a magic wand.
Yeah, magic wands.
And we couldn't deal with it.
it broke us.
It was like, what world do we want to live in? Is this a world with magic or are we magical? And So it didn't quite mesh as well as our other sets.
Just because of the idea of magic wand, I just put in some sound effects of it, like a child's laughter while you were talking.
Appropriate.
Beautiful.
Appropriate.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Nimble.
Mm-hmm. I was able to move and be flexible with what you were talking about. So what interests me about that, and this is the reason why I didn't mean to correct you, Mr.
No, I'm sorry.
It's my fault.
I'm actually glad you did because that would give the listener the wrong impression. Mm-hmm. I think Small Town is a much better kind of framework for what we're doing than Close Quarters.
The reason why I wanted to say that is that in my experience with Small Towns, one of the most difficult things is to have everybody avoid... the easy temptation is to have somebody start to try to direct the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it takes all eight people agreeing without speaking to not direct. and if anybody starts directing, it can go off the rails really quickly and really easily. How does that work? I mean, you guys are all very experienced and very, very good, if I don't mind saying so.
Ooh.
Except for maybe Mike. I don't know.
Why?
Sure.
I'm kidding, Mike. You're great. Great calves. But that was always my struggle with a small town. How do you deal with that?
I think all of us have... I think maybe we were like this before, but for these sets, I feel like we've all found a thing early on that informs our characters throughout the set.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become very easy for us to play off each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've played with people that I've been able to just bounce something off and it just works. No matter what you do, it's very easy. I think most scenes that I'm in with people are easy. When I'm watching other people do them, it always seems easy. So I think it's just the fact that we're finding a role within the company. one week somebody is the CEO, the next week there. What, were you the legal consultant, Sean, last night?
Yeah.
So it was just, it's just finding that little niche in there.
And I, part of it too was in the weeks leading up to us doing the our run at Huge, we rehearsed for 8 weeks. Yeah. You know, we rehearsed every Saturday for 2 hours a day, and we had the, we had our ideas of the things we wanted to work against and the things we wanted to work for. And that was, you know, kind of, you know, helps us to have the vision within, within each individual performance of how we want to play it.
I think there's a certain amount of following the consequences too, you know, in what's going on in the scenes before you. How does that impact, that thing that I've established from the top? Like, where do I fit into that? So if I'm out on stage, what's happening now because of what just happened? If someone has crawled into the vents, what does that mean for the guy who slept there the previous night? Whatever.
But that can be the hard thing. You know what I mean? Like, that can be the hard thing when you want to direct maybe what your character was experiencing earlier, or what, you know, like, say I was in a scene with Mike earlier that has nothing to do with the guy that just crawled in the fence, and so it's easy for, like, the temptation is to bring that back and make that the new thing, or to try to synchronize those two story events that might not actually be the way to go.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, how is that going? Because I personally think that small town is one of the most difficult forms to tackle for this very reason.
Yeah.
I think that if you have to have the discipline to be on the side.
Yes.
And
huge amount of
watch discipline. What's happening and realize I'm not hearing this, I'm not seeing this. Mm-hmm. So I have to do, if and when I come back in, I can't refer to it. Although, case in point, last evening, Michael set up with Jen that he was the mailroom guy. So he set up that he liked to go into the vent system so that he had the ability to kind of spy on people.
Okay.
So then in later scenes, those of us that hadn't heard that, and I'm doing air quotes because we weren't on stage, suddenly we're hearing things happening above us. So we could refer to it without referring to the reality of what he had established.
And I think one of the other things that that we've done is to try to be very patient. Our scenes actually, they breathe quite a bit. We usually have longer scenes. That I think most of the audience members that have come to the show say, wow, you guys let that breathe, and kind of just let things happen. And allowing knowing that we're going in with, like, longer scenes allows us to say, if I come at this with, it's all about the vents, I'm going to run out of material right away. But if I come at this from the perspective of a character who has a problem with another character, and now it's all about a relationship, the vents can maybe inform something about that, but it's not going to be, like you said, it's not going to be that thread where you're like, oh, I need to get back to the vents. We need to get back to the vents because that's the exciting part. Yeah. It's, oh no, we have to soak up some time. So let's actually have a human interaction between these two characters.
I was going to add on, one thing I also like about our scenes is the vast majority of them are two-people scenes, two-person scenes.
Really?
I think, yeah, the vast majority of them.
That took a while to get to. We had to really work on that and set some rules
and
around that.
We worked on that in rehearsal. We did some rehearsal structures, I guess you could say, where we would just do two-person scenes and let them establish and go on. And then we said, well, let's implant that into Nimblicity, the 45-minute set that we do, where we'll only have two-person scenes coming out of the initial board meeting or sales meeting for 2 to 3 to 4 possible scenes, and just have the discipline to let that happen.
But it is a struggle, I think you're right. Yeah. And it's something we continually struggle with, I think. Throughout our run, there's been cases where I think we've really hit it, and there's been cases where we've come back and kind of said, no, we were kind of... I know I had two different pages.
Yeah.
I had a couple shows where I thought, oh, I was writing down plot. Like, I was just plotting the whole time. Mm. And that's not a good feeling when you're doing that sort of set, to realize, oh, I was just throwing out plot points and tying things together and writing in my head when I should have just been in a character all the time.
Yeah. And And I think there's enough of us, and there's enough happening within the actual performance that one or two people might have an off night, yet there's still enough people that are really super mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. that it makes up for one or two of us that may have not had a hot night. Mm. So
I would say even for this run, I think all our shows have been at least solid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the very mm-hmm. least, and even I think as improvisers, we're all self-loathing people, so we do have that feeling of I didn't do what I should have, maybe, even though everybody else is looking at you like, what are you talking about, you did great. Or maybe that's just improv talk for they just want to pat you on the head and sure. say good try, but I don't feel like any of the shows have besides the Magic Wand show, it's been really, truly the...
The feedback that I got from last night's show was people were asking if we had a timer set for each scene. Hmm. And because they were like, obviously you knew who was going to do what next scene and how long you were going to do that, because it was so...
like a Del Arte show.
Well, timed. And I was like, no, actually, that's not how we're running it. And but I think that we...
That's a real high compliment.
It felt like such, because I think, and that's because of the hard work and the having really honest conversations and really diving into, well, what was your thought process during that and getting to know one another in a way that I've never have with an improv group before. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we're giving each other that space and respecting each other's pace and energy and also what everybody's bringing and trusting that if someone's going to cut it, it's because they're seeing it almost as if we're all painting the picture together and we're all writing the story together. So that's almost like it's their version of editing it and writing it.
And not having a blackout at the end of a scene. It's just that, it's just, we all have quite a number of years of experience to know, break it, because it's a laugh line or it's a plot line, or if it's a high emotional moment, you need to break it. Boom, go.
Yeah, you guys... your era really blacks out on a lot of scenes. they do. I noticed that. Yeah. It's a lot of blackout after scenes. I hear you got that magic kid thing in the back again.
I do. I've got the finger on the button.
Yeah.
We keep going back to that Magic Wand show, but it was, it was well produced. It may not have been well executed, but it was well produced.
Yeah, the guy's sure. really good. Really good. Puts on a good show every month.
Yep.
June 11th.
Yeah.
Once
yeah.
a year's a good
calves.
One, too.
Good calves.
Good calves. Good calves.
Yeah. Great calves, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, those are calves worth implanting. In fact, maybe that should be your suggestion of your show next time.
Calf right? implants. Nice.
Calf implants, yes.
That could be fun.
Specifically Mike D. calf implants.
Mike D. calf implants.
Thank you,
guys. Right. Thank you. Philip?
Matt?
Yeah. Just quick sidebar.
Okay.
I heard Mike mention earlier something about self-loathing in improv. I don't know. Is that true?
Oh, are you not an improviser?
I hate myself a lot, but...
Oh, you're an improviser.
Okay.
Yeah. It's that gnawing self-doubt and hatred of your uh-huh. of your core.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. That's what you talk about a lot, right?
That's all that I have inside of me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing of value.
Oh. Hey, that's valuable.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I feel like you both need a hug.
Sidebar
over? Sidebar over, yeah.
Hey, sorry, hey, I was just asking him for some gardening tips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh,
okay.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. Getting back quickly to what Michael said about the loathing and self-loathing. Mm. I drove away last night thinking, I'm never coming back to Huge Theater. They're on their own because I sucked. And then I said, thank God that Sam and Sean and Adam and Michael and Jen and Maureen were there so that the audience didn't feel ripped off.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Oh, Tom.
Tom, that's terrible. Where is this? No.
Why did you think you were terrible?
Why did you think
that
you were terrible?
I asked a lot of questions.
Well, they were leading questions, though.
And I answered a lot of them myself.
You did. That's true. Now that you say that, I realize you asked a lot of questions.
I actually really like that game.
Yeah.
That
was fun.
It was the old, we should be, why aren't we doing more? Because we should be doing that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
I think that speaks to a dynamic in this group, though, that there's such a wonderfully diverse set of strengths. And not only does that make for a robust show, but like Sam is really fantastic at relationships, and just being on stage and watching that is that constant reminder of, oh yeah, I need to be deepening these relationships. And just, yeah, I mean, everybody has those superpowers, and it's a constant wonderful reminder to be doing what we're doing better.
What's Adam good at?
No, you stop it. You're putting me on the spot. This is terrible.
Well, I can go through it. Actually, not about me, but like last night, Jen played drunk. And playing drunk is
hard.
It's super hard.
So hard.
Very difficult.
So hard. But Jen did a fantastic... Well, it's Jen's. It's Jen.
She's amazing.
She's incredible.
She was here earlier.
It would be nice if, yeah.
I mean, basically, I can't market the show now that she's not on it.
It's true. She could have, right now, she could have been giving tips on how other improvisers could play drunk as well as she could. Because I can't give those tips because I can't do it. But she was amazing at playing drunk. And it was like just enough that you're like, oh, this is fantastic. Or Sean eating. I've said this before and I'll say it again. He's the best eater I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
Lots of practice. You should teach a class.
He should teach a class.
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I just
did
will.
Think that you stuck something in your mouth to eat during, it was not this last week, but the week before.
It was that steak when you guys were at the restaurant.
It was that steak at the restaurant. It was a tough steak. Casey was the waitress.
Yeah.
I saw it. I was off. I was stage right. I saw it.
Beautiful.
And Tom's great at details. Tom is one of those people that will.
Super specific.
He will just throw out super specific details that later on, it's just he'll pepper you with them, and then later on you can just you're like, oh, that's a lifeline, I can use that. But at first you're just like, how does Tom know so much about whatever we're doing?
You mean whatever the product is?
Whatever the product is, or wherever we are, you'll say, oh, that's right next to the river, and you're like. Oh, okay. Now we're talking about a town that's next to a river, and then you'll give us facts.
It wouldn't just be any river.
It would be. Exactly. It'll be like, oh, that's right next to the Susquehanna River. Did you know that in 1865 the Susquehanna River flooded, and all of the lower half of the town was destroyed?
That's such an awesome.
See, yeah. Great with history. Yeah.
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 And I'll say, actually, now I've had a moment to think it through. Adam is really fantastic at really grounded and straightforward characters. I feel like I don't get away with playing bullshit when I'm on stage with Adam. So I really appreciate it, that about him. And then there's Mike.
Yep.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just Mike.
I have gorgeous calves.
Philip?
Sidebar?
Yeah, well, it's going to be in front of everybody.
Oh,
no.
I just I felt like inspired by what Adam was doing, and I feel like you're great at hats.
I'm definitely committed.
Long term, obviously.
Yeah. You're supposed to reciprocate.
Yeah, if I ever think of something.
Oh, okay. Okay, sidebar over. We weren't even on a sidebar. They heard that. So, Adam, for you, I think that you're a tremendous heightener.
Oh, thank you for sure. Yes. The one about Mike that I was going to say is that he...
God, this is just a dick-sucking
session. I know, it really is. Mike did a great scene where he was the CEO of a company, and Mike hates playing the head of... He hates being in charge, but he was kind of stretching himself, and he kind of got roped into it.
Roped into it.
And he decided he was going to make this... his thing was he was going to make this CEO's office just be absurd. And so the CEO's office had a ping pong table... one of those like golf, those putting greens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It also had, I assume, a karaoke machine with a microphone that he would use to give feedback to the employees out of the amplifier, as well as then a megaphone when he wanted to just up the ante. And it was one of those like beautiful things. I was like, who paints an office like that but Mike? Where he's just like, what absurd thing can I throw in here that a complete asshole would have in his office? Yeah. And he executed.
Reverb. Hey. There was a lot of reverb that night.
There was a lot of reverb, yes.
We also love other teammates, but they're not here.
So nothing.
Suck it.
So you are set in a very realistic world, one that you five in particular are very familiar with. How grounded does the set stay? Does it spiral into improv absurdville other than Magic Wand? does it get into zany land, or does it stay pretty realistic?
I think for the most part we actually do stay pretty realistic. I think we have glimpses into zany. And last week we had an episode where I was a remote team member, so I was working from home. And at the end of the episode, everybody had moved into my house and was working, and I had gone back to the office. So that's probably not something that would necessarily happen.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I think, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just sort of zany on par with, say, like a sitcom. It feels like like sitcom realism.
Yeah, it's just outside the realm of reality enough. Mm-hmm. Like last night with the you and the vents, honest to God. You know, and the metal picture, you're talking about a concrete metal picture of him up in those, and then all of a sudden there's now Jen's up there with him, you know, crawling around the vents, listening in conversations, and then that's where they stashed the beer. Because was it you or were you that smelled something yeasty?
That was me. That was me.
And thank you for clarifying that.
A big groan from the audience.
Oh. I think that sometimes we do the things that we dream would actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, that we sit all day at the office daydreaming about. We make a lot of that happen.
Yeah, yeah. The mental picture I have in my head is Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is
a show
I love. Yeah. And it's just kind of just to the side of absurd. So it's like, but everything that's happened, it's almost like if they took all the stories that happen within Silicon, the actual Silicon Valley place, and smashed them all together. So it couldn't all happen at one company.
Right.
But it's things that have, like, maybe one of those incidents happened at another company. Because, for instance, I knew a school district where someone was, like, sleeping in the vents, like one of the janitors or something at night. I read a story about that. And so afterwards, everyone's like, oh, sleeping in the vents, that's crazy. I'm like, it's not that crazy. Maybe having beers and spying on people, that was a little bit John McClane, but everything else was kind of, that could happen. There might be someone doing that.
I would say, even though there is some absurdity, it's the relationships feel grounded. And I mean, they're grounded in the reality we've created.
Well, and that's the key.
You know, so I don't think it goes so wacky that it's like, well, that's stupid. It's just that we've created this really... I mean, sometimes this is a really fun world, but all the relationships went, because I think this goes back to us having the two-person scenes and allowing them to breathe. We've created something so you actually care about these characters no matter what's going on around them.
Do you coach yourselves or do you have a coach?
We coach ourselves. This was a conversation that we battled. Dalival and I went back and forth quite a bit.
Did we battle?
We didn't battle, but we had lots of conversation
about
it.
This is new for the rest of us, just so everyone knows.
We did not know there was a battle. We do not have anybody.
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember. So who ended up being right? Because I don't remember what side we were
on. Oh, well, there you go. Well, then we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think it was fine.
Oh, see, man. I can kind of tell by the way that was...
I think we just broke up another group.
I don't remember.
And now's the time of the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner.
Hey, you guys.
What's happening, Philip?
Hi, Philip.
Welcome to my corner.
I like your hat.
Thank you.
Oh, you guys sound real excited.
It is well
you might want to tone that down.
I'm super excited. I love Philip's Corner.
Yeah.
It's a brand new segment.
Adam loves right angles.
I did run the idea by Adam, though.
Yeah. I love the idea.
He approved the idea of it. Mm. But here's what I was thinking. This week, why not I go around the circle, I stare at you, we make awkward eye contact, and during that time, I think of a question, and you pretend that it's the best question you've ever been asked and answer with a very interesting answer.
Absolutely.
All right. Deal.
Deal. Okay. Fair. Tom. You into flavored applesauce or do you like plain? Because they have a cinnamon variety.
Thank you. Because I grew up in a family that flavored. My mother added cinnamon. And I never liked it. Thank you. Thank you, Philip.
You didn't like the cinnamon?
Oh, I just like regular plain applesauce. So thank you for understanding that.
I'm actually feuding with you right now because I prefer the cinnamon. We don't have to battle, but on my side, knowing that in my heart, I'm battling you.
What do you think about when you leave the applesauce jar in the fridge too long and it gets moldy on top?
I think, hey, let's get rid of that. You can't eat that.
That's why I've gone to buying the individual portioned applesauces. So that way there's no waste.
Except for all the waste that you put into the garbage.
Well, I don't care about that.
Okay. Applesauce, more important than Earth. Mike, what's one thing that you do for convenience that you know is super wasteful?
You know, I've been waiting for a long time for someone to ask me that question, and I didn't think it was going to be today, but I woke up thinking, just maybe I'm going to go on this podcast and they're going to ask me that magical question. The question of convenience. What do I do that's wasteful? Sometimes I hate to say this. I hate to say it, but I'm happy to get it off my chest. Sometimes I drink Hawaiian Punch out of the can and I'll just put the can in the garbage. Not the recycling.
You don't recycle?
The garbage. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I run out of paper bags to put the cans in. I know it's a shame. It's a damn shame.
Okay, we are definitely battling in my heart right now. Because you value punch over Mother Earth?
Yes, sometimes.
Fuck you, Michael Dillon.
Fuck me. Fuck me.
Hey, Philip, okay, quick sidebar.
Sidebar.
Is this Philip's judgment?
You know what? The corner, it is what it is.
Okay, okay.
I'm trying it out. Maybe I'll work out the kinks someday.
Well, sidebar over.
Sidebar over. Adam.
Yes.
Do you do anything special for Earth Day?
That's a great question, in fact, because I do not. But Earth Day is the anniversary of the very first improv show I've ever did in my life. I did an Earth Day show, the first public show I ever did, and I punched a tree during the show. I punched and kicked a tree. It was World's Worst, which is a fun short form game. And someone, of course, shouted out World's Worst Environmentalist. So I couldn't think of anything like witty to say. So I just ran over to the nearest tree. It was an outdoor festival. And I punched and kicked the tree and said, "Fuck you, tree." And it got a laugh. So that was the very first show I ever did. So anytime Earth Day rolls around, I'm always reminded of that very first show. Great question, by the way.
Okay. Well, you can compliment my questions, but we are battling in my heart because you punched a tree.
Have a Hawaiian punch, Adam.
It's a callback. Sean, have you ever been in a fight?
Wow. Not in a long, long time. I mean, are we talking like a physical fight?
Yeah, let's go physical.
Okay. Yeah, not in a very long time. Not since probably like elementary school when a guy who I thought was a dear friend turned on me because I was supremely unpopular in elementary school, and he needed to prove that he was socially worthy of contact with other human beings. And so it was a knockdown drag out battle, and I had not thought about it since probably junior high. So thank you, Philip. I feel like this is something I can shed and walk on into the rest of my life. Thank you.
What was his name?
You know, I'd rather not say. Say it.
Say it.
Joe. All right, we'll call him Joe.
Bullshit.
No, his name really was Joe, as far as you know.
So Joe hit you and you hit the dirt.
You know what? He hit me, I hit the dirt, and I kept getting back up. That was what got me in trouble, was
so that
I was
hit
not
the
staring
dirt
down.
Over and over. We're battling because you hit the earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam.
My heart's pounding. My stomach feels weird. What's your question?
Do you know a lot about soil types? Are you a gardener of any type?
No, I'm afraid I'm not a gardener. I did work at a wine vineyard at one point in my life.
In what part of the world?
In Carbondale, Illinois. It's a region of many vineyards, and I worked there. And I would pick the grapes at 6 a.m. in the morning, and often get stung by bees. Because you would reach in and there would be a stinger in the grape, and then would pull it and you wouldn't necessarily know if there was going to be a bee there, and you would sometimes come out with a few. So you had to make sure you had gloves, but sometimes there would be so many people harvesting that we ran out of gloves.
Migrant worker?
No.
why couldn't they just buy more gloves?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly why, but I would get stung all the time.
Wait, so the bee was in among the grapes?
Yeah, they would always be in and among the grapes.
I thought that the bee had previously stung a grape, and then when you grabbed
it. No, no, but I don't know different types of soil.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
No one does.
Yeah.
Does anyone here know about soil?
A little bit.
Okay.
There's like manure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's future soil.
Sandy.
And then, yeah.
Clay heavy. Yeah, mulch.
I
have a pH measure system.
Okay, well, when you got stung by bees, they died, so we're battling.
Oh, God.
In my heart.
I'm sorry.
Sidebar, Matt?
Yeah, Phil.
I thought of something that I want to praise you for.
Oh, thanks.
You are much better at asking questions than I am.
Aw, thanks, Philip. That's really nice of you.
Thank God you're here to run the interviews.
Well, you used a lot of these people's lives when you were asking those questions, which caused a lot of carbon emissions, which means that you and I are now battling because you kind of hate the Earth.
Sidebar over. Thanks, that's been Philip's Corner.
Well, yay. That was good. Yay. I think you should keep that segment.
I got a little crowded. Yeah. I got a little doubted on your corner.
Are you guys ready to do some improv?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. Next up,
bats! We open on a boardroom. This is a very, very fancy boardroom, very new, all glass along one side from floor to ceiling. The type of curtains that can only be opened and closed with a remote control.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to this meeting this afternoon.
Happy to be here, Chip.
Good, good. I'm so glad you are. Listen, I have some news that unfortunately I have to share with you. I've just called the cops because I have been embezzling from this company for a very long time. They are coming to pick me up.
Not you, Chip.
Whoa, Chip.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I can't tell you how much it breaks my heart to have to tell you this. The memories we've
hit the whole company. Or
yeah,
just
our individual laptops are probably going to be confiscated to see if there's anything else going on. I need to get back to my office pretty quickly here.
Don't worry about it. We got you.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late to the meeting.
Did you hear what Chip just said?
No, I was late. I'm sorry. I was in the ladies' room, and I had. I'm so sorry.
Chip?
Just to catch you up. I've been embezzling from the company. The police are on their way. I'm going to be taken into custody.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm Sam. I
thought you were one of the good ones. But
you
Chip?
We always thought of you as the heart of the company, Chip.
I know, and it breaks my heart. It's
okay.
This is destroying me, guys.
Why'd
this
you
is really...
do it, Chip? Why'd you do it?
Alimony? Gambling? Cover-ups?
Did you have a...
Yes.
Maybe a drug problem?
Drug problem?
No. Chip? I did not have a drug problem. No,
problem?
It was strictly the gambling
child
and the alimony.
Chip?
Hey, you know what? You turned on me awfully fast here, Adam.
Well, yeah, you guys be nice to Chip.
Why should we be nice
Chip
to Chip?
Has been stealing
Chip,
the
was
company.
It deviant sexual behavior?
Absolutely not. It was...
No.
I have a gambling thing, and Philip, I'm most sorry. I feel most sorry
is
to you. We've been sharing a cube all this time, and...
You think you know a guy.
I know. And you,
yeah,
do.
You do.
I'm still...
You think you know a guy.
I'm still me. I am.
I mean, I knew about the embezzling. Why would you call the police on yourself?
Whoa, you knew and you didn't say anything?
I mean, I share a cubicle with him, okay?
I mean, I thought he was just dim. I'm sorry,
whoa,
Phil.
Whoa,
I don't know.
That's
I just,
personal.
Just,
whoa.
No, it's not like that. It's just I was pretty blatant, and the fact that he didn't say anything struck me as odd.
I'd like to watch from my corner of the cubicle. Oh. You put things together. You do the math in your head. It doesn't add up.
Wow.
It's unspeakable. It's unspeakable what you've done to all of us. Because when this hits the papers, this is going to cause a ripple that's going to go right across the whole industry.
Tom,
not to mention us.
I just opened my paper. It's already hit it.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Chip,
I called the paper. Yes, I called the papers ahead of the police.
Yep.
I figured it'd be best if it all sort of hit simultaneously. You know?
Why didn't I read this on my way to work?
I've been working so hard on the patent for the calf implant.
No, I know. And, God, I hope that turns out.
The story's
going to
be about you, Chip.
No, hey, you know what? Maybe there's a way to spin that positively.
Everybody, stop. It says in this article that he leaked the patent.
Jesus.
Chip.
Chip.
Well, that I you weren't supposed to find out about
Sam.
About that.
To Simbacore.
Oh my God.
Oh, Chip. To Simbacore.
They offered me an awful lot of money, guys.
Chip,
I'm sorry.
I told you didn't have to do this.
Sam, from a public relations standpoint, is there any way, is it too late for us to get out ahead of this thing? Is there any way you could call in some of your contacts in the news industry to get them to, maybe we can spin it. We can spin it.
I don't know if I can mend this one there, Tom. I don't know if I can do it. Chip, I'm going to need to have a word with you.
Absolutely. Would you all excuse us just one moment?
Yeah, sidebar, sure.
We'll be outside.
I'm the only one left in accounting. And I've been watching over Chip's shoulder. I only know how to embezzle. I don't know that I can run this company legitimately.
I don't think any of us can run this company legitimately because it sounds as if the bottom line has just fallen out. The bottom has fallen out of the bottom line.
R&D stole the idea of the calf implant from Dow. I'm sorry. I know this is weird. I shouldn't have said anything.
Oh, Michael.
Guys, Michael. I don't know any better. It's how we do things here, obviously.
This, you know what, this, it's racketeering. It's become a criminal enterprise. This isn't calf implant company anymore. We might as well be the Corleone family, for God's sake.
Hey, wait a second, guys. Why don't we?
Organized crime? Is that what you're organized
why
crime?
Why don't we become a money laundering business?
I've been apprenticed in laundering, and
that's true.
What's the other word for it?
Embezzlement?
Yeah, that.
Racketeering?
Racketeering?
All of it. I've been watching over Chip's shoulder.
Guys, every idea I've ever had, I've stolen from someone else.
I guess if it's confession time, I've been leasing out time on our web servers to Russians. So, I mean, that's something I've been doing with the IT funding. So,
I'm
going to
be
sorry.
Honest. I brought up the deviant sexual behavior because I just wanted somebody else who was into it.
I think
you might have hit a dead end.
Damn it.
Well, Chip, but he's headed out with the feds.
Do not defame Chip's name, okay? I watched everything on that computer. He's into very normal vanilla sexual encounters.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
So you're saying we just can't be together anymore?
Chip, you didn't have to do this for me. I have the situation under control.
I know, but...
We didn't need the money that badly, Chip.
Oh, let's be honest. You're going to lose your house without this money.
Well, I'm going to lose my house? And you know what else I'm going to lose? My pride and my dignity. And you too, Chip. You're never going to be able to work after this.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Where are we going to raise this child?
You're going to have to raise it on your own.
Chip, don't do that to me.
Officer, I'm Chip. Officer. Goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye, Chip. It's a boy.
Name him Roger.
Squad car. Sam, could you come back into the boardroom, please? We need to get the public relations view of this and how we can mend this.
Yeah, sorry about that, Tom. I was just in the bathroom. I was just fixing myself up. I said bye to Chip.
Sam, we've had an idea.
Yeah, Tom.
We need you to try to spin it for us. What would the news release sound like if we decided that we were going to no longer be in calf implants, but the money laundering business?
So we just own it.
You're right. We just own it.
We just come out with it. Make it a new marketable profit.
Center, yes. A new marketable profit center.
Absolutely, Tom.
Christ, banks do it every day.
That's true. That's literally true. I mean, Chase was laundering money for the drug lords for years. And they
probably
just,
still are.
Probably, yeah, good point. And they got away with it and just paid a very minor fine.
All right, here's what we need to do. By the end of the day, I want each of you from each individual department, R&D,
IT,
tech,
accounting,
marketing.
I want every one of you to come in with an idea on how we can make this work. Screw Chip. He put us in this place. We're going to have to dig ourselves out the way we did before calf implants were anything that anybody ever wanted.
I don't really know how R&D fits into the whole money laundering thing. Is there something else I can do?
You can figure out how we can launder better.
Yes, you can research and develop, you nincompoop.
Excuse me, someone else needs the room.
Oh, Sean. All right.
Well, let's shut it down. All right. 4 o'clock. I want to have everything on my desk. Let's shut it down.
Oops, sorry about that. Just coming in. I just wanted to run some ideas by you, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
So, I've already been leasing a lot of time on the servers to the Russians, but...
I can't believe you said that. Now, what kind of a profit margin is there?
Well, right now, it's 100% for me because the expenses were being paid by the legitimate company. But if we just do it on the up and up, well, we could make probably like a 30% margin.
Hmm.
Yeah. No one uses our servers at night.
Adam, let me bounce this off you.
Yeah.
What if we were to split everything? We don't let the company know, but this is just between you and I, and maybe it's a 65-35 split.
I get 65, you get 35?
Exactly the opposite. Otherwise, I make a phone call.
Okay. Okay. Well, you do have me kind of over the barrel right now, mm-hmm. so I will say yes to that.
Because see that rock? See that hard place?
Yeah.
You're right in the middle.
I am.
All right. Here's what we need to do. We are going to have to make this work. What I want you to do is don't get any of our names involved. Continue what you're doing. Lease the time on the servers to the Russians.
No problem. They're already doing it. That is, I don't have to change anything.
All right.
This is business as usual for me.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I thought to myself to bring a known felon into the company would be, you know, we'd be doing some good work, but I guess it's really turned the other way, hasn't it?
Actually, it sounds like it's worked out pretty well for you. 65%.
In the short term, yes.
Yeah.
But long term, how are any of us going to be able to live with ourselves?
That I don't know. Right now, I live pretty well taking that Russian money.
Hmm. Do you think I could walk around the office stripped to the waist like Putin?
Is this a serious question, or are you...
I'm just thinking out loud. What would the rest of the employees think if they saw me, let's say, on a horse at the company picnic? With a pool, with a chessboard stripped to the waist.
I think they would probably look at you and say, what has happened to Tom?
What if I hit the gym between now and the company picnic?
Then they might say, look at those abs.
Mm.
Samantha, you looked upset. We won't walk out of the meeting.
It's no problem, Michael. I'll move past it. I'm sure many women do.
Is it a boy or is it a girl?
It's a boy, Michael. Thank you so much for asking me.
Well, I was working with Chip. I developed an implant that I put straight into his penis that made his sperm super strong. And so, it's only a matter of time, I figured, before it would work on you.
So are you saying that I have an implant baby?
It's still
is that
baby,
what you're
Samantha.
Saying
it's
to
still
me,
a baby.
Michael? Are baby. You saying that this isn't the work of God, that this is the work of some...
It's the work of science, Samantha. Something that I've been working on and actually stole from Google. They've been working on it for years, but I found their... I took the patent and I put it into Sean, and Sean was a willing participant because he wanted a baby and he wanted it to be with you.
Sean, Chip, whatever his name is.
God, I confuse him.
Michael, normally I would be so upset with you, but I've been trying for 10 years to have a baby.
I know, and now you have it.
And now I have it. Thanks to you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
I miss Sean. I mean Chip. God, the confusion. I wish you'd take off that name tag that says Sean. I don't understand why he wears that.
Well, it was his father's name.
He never told me about his father.
He loved his father very much. What about you, Michael? What about your father?
He died just a month ago. I don't like to talk about it. He was a man of science as well. Every idea was his. I could never live up to him.
So what will you do now then, Michael?
Thinking about running away. I don't think I can top the penis implant. What else is there?
I'm having a real hard time coming up with a marketing slogan for us.
I'm having a hard time adjusting to this empty cubicle.
Mind if I move in? I never really had a cubicle of my own.
Oh, there's plenty of room. I mean, the police took his computer and his file cabinets, and I don't know what they're hoping to learn from his swivel chair, but they took that too.
Well, I have a Netgear.
I mean, yeah, it's a big cubicle. I only use this tiny corner, so...
I'll just settle up right next to you.
Okay, it's a big cubicle.
No, this
can
is
take
this
the
is,
opposite.
This is fine. It just seems so empty if I sit
the
over
center,
there.
Even if you're you'd be plenty far away. All right, we'll both be in the corner.
I'll just sit here typing. Do you have any good ideas? I'm not real good at this marketing thing.
Oh, were you one of those like legacy kids that just kind of breezed through college because of his dad, and you ended up with a marketing degree, and then your dad knew someone at the company, and that's why you're here, but you're not qualified?
That is shockingly close, except I never got a degree, and I don't know my parents.
How is that close?
It's not.
Okay.
Oh, hey guys, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to let you know that I'm doing a little fundraising for my child. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm throwing myself a shower because I don't have any other friends to do that. So you're both invited. Thanks.
Oh, I'll be
here's an invitation.
Oh, it's in the office.
You can take a whiff of that invitation if you'd like. I sent it.
It's white. It's like a whiteout. A whiteout smell.
It's my favorite smell.
Yeah, I'd like to order a cake for a shower. Yeah. Congratulations with a T, Samantha, on your new baby boy. You'll be okay, even though Chip's going away for 20 to life.
20 to life? Oh, what kind of fucking shit?
Vanilla. Chocolate icing. That's my favorite. And maybe if you put some roses on it and maybe a little... I know. How about one of those birds that has the babies in the... what do they call that? The birds that have the babies in the mouth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. It's a stork. Stork.
Yeah, stork. Yeah. Yeah. No. No pickles.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. The shower is going to be Tuesday, 3 o'clock. Okay. And that would be delivered to room 8H.
8H.
In Capella Tower.
Is she hot?
Sam, can I talk to you?
Yeah, sure, Phil. Yeah, no problem.
An HR issue. You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm just...
We see that she broke out into immediate flop sweat.
Is it hot in here?
Since the police took Chip away, Matt came up and...
Do you have a fan or something?
Sorry. You can use these files.
Oh, thank you.
She puts the files in between her armpits and her arms to soak up the sweat that is forming.
And they immediately start to crinkle.
Oh, thank you so much. That's really helpful. Here you go.
You can keep those.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's just the file that I walk around with so people think that I'm busy. Look, it's just that Matt is kind of... Like, he's filling in Chip's cubicle space, but...
Yeah.
Look, I was comfortable watching Chip... watch his vanilla porn from the other side of the room.
Yeah.
We see, as he mentions Chip, he has a tear form on the left side of his left eye.
But Matt's in my corner.
Sure.
Like, it's already a cubicle. He's in my corner.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's...
It's like he really wants to take over my corner.
So you feel like you have
He thinks I'm not doing well enough.
Okay.
He doesn't think I'm doing a good enough job over my corner. It's like he wants to wedge his way in.
Okay.
And take it over.
You can stop hugging me now.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I just...
I'm sorry. I hope you don't have to go to talk to HR headquarters about this.
Well, no, it's okay.
I'm sorry,
as both the PR and HR representative of this organization, I will not speak about it. Because I know when to and when not to speak about things. And I know that right now you're just going through something.
You're saying he was sick of me being in his corner?
Well, I just think that maybe you're coming off a little strong, Matt.
I have plenty of room.
When we brought you into this organization, you know, it was one thing that we talked about from your last company.
What
with
is
the
wrong with you? Do you have a sweating disorder?
I have a little bit of a sweating thing that's happening. Do you happen to have any files in the room?
I do. I have this one that I carry around to look busy.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh,
God.
Wow.
That really looks
right on you.
Thank you. It's nice and observant. Wow. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and we just decided that we're going to give you a promotion.
Okay.
Because that's just going to be the way to get you out of
that
little
amazing.
Space.
That is amazing. This happens to me more frequently than you think.
I bet it does, Matt. I bet it does. Well, so you can go ahead and get started in the next half hour and the new job will have Michael send something down for you.
What
and,
is my title again exactly?
It's going to be... Realism team sponsorship.
Captain?
Sure.
Okay.
Adam, what do you think? Does my resume look okay?
Why are you showing me your resume?
I need somebody to look it over, make sure it's good, because I don't think I'm good for this place anymore.
You're leaving?
I'm gonna leave. I think I haven't created one thing. This resume, it's my dad's. I haven't done one thing.
Well, it looks great.
Well, my dad was a very accomplished man, and I feel if I can use his accomplishments, maybe somewhere else will take me. Maybe like Lockheed Martin or something.
Yeah, I guess you could do that. But I don't know if we want you to leave now that you know the full scheme of what we're trying to do here.
Look, I'm not going to say anything. I I know what you all can do. I know what you're capable of. I've watched The Godfather. I know what can happen.
Michael, I'm going to be sad to see you go, I guess.
I'm going to be sad to see me go as well. I'm going to miss you. You're always kind to me, even though I really didn't do anything.
Well, you did steal those implants. I mean, have you ever thought about maybe just industrial espionage as a job rather than as just something you do to make up for the fact that you're terrible at other jobs?
I guess there's something in that, but it seems like a lot of effort. A lot of effort. More effort than I want to put in.
But you've already technically put in all that effort before. Like, you're very good at it.
I'm exhausted. I want to move on.
Okay. Well, if you want to...
Come with me.
What?
Come with me.
Where to? Where are we going?
Bahamas.
Ooh, non-extradition.
No, of course not. No extradition, of course. None. Oh.
Oh, hello? Yeah, yes, come in.
Yeah, Adam, you wanted a realism consult?
Oh, yeah, I did. Let's just get it started.
That's what I do here.
Yeah. Do you mind if I stick around?
No, please do.
I think that you're the reason I'm here.
That is correct. Oh. This is a little bit of a surprise. A little bit of an intervention here, Michael. So why don't you take it away, Matt, with the whole realism, and while I go over here and shred this resume.
Realistically, you're unemployable anywhere else.
I'm sorry. Let me turn down the TV. I got on in the background, too.
I just don't feel that I can make the embezzling equipment that you need to be successful at this endeavor.
But you can steal it. You're good at it.
You're very good at it.
You two flatter me.
Reality check, Mike.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Boom.
Thank you, reality check. I will stay.
Thanks, Adam.
Hey, no problem. Thank you. You know what? You're much better at this than you were at marketing.
I didn't even have a degree. Oops.
That's okay. I used to be in prison.
Oh!
That tuna salad?
Yeah.
It smells like tuna salad. Mine's egg salad.
It smells like egg salad.
Yeah.
What do you got in there? It's crunchy sounding.
Oh, they put... It's store-bought, but they put celery. Diced celery.
I don't trust anybody's tuna salad or egg salad other than my own.
You make it yourself?
Yes. Tuna, mayonnaise, Hellman's, eggs, mayonnaise,
okay.
Hellman's. That's it. Nothing so crunchy,
plain. Yeah,
please.
You like it plain. You like it
plain?
Like,
it's perfect.
Well, some people like, you know, flavors and other things. So your tuna salad is like how Chip liked his sex. Just very straight to the point, vanilla, nothing freaky.
Hmm.
Oh, man, I miss him.
You know what we
all
do.
Oh, my God. Is there a tuna? Is there a tuna and egg happening in this office?
Yeah, Tom has an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Salad. I've got an egg salad.
Oh, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Is there an allergy issue?
Yeah,
or is that?
No,
just
it's
not like the smell? Or
it's a horrible, horrible smell. Please. I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that's unfortunate. What am I? I just took one bite.
Does it count if we just eat it fast? Does that get rid of it?
I don't think so, because then we'd have it on our breath. You know what? What we could do is just finish it, and then we could just wash it down with some tortilla chips.
Mm. You guys eating? Is it tuna and egg salad over here?
I mean, one of each. Is not
yeah,
mixed.
I've got
We're
tuna, and he's got egg salad. You know,
I can't tell. It smells over here.
We're trying to eliminate it with our body.
You know, no, who, I like it. I like it. Keep
you know,
it.
You know who
I
really like who
it smells
know,
like sex over here?
You know who really liked to eat?
What?
Chip.
He really,
and you know what? He had a well-rounded diet. I don't think he's going to do well in prison.
Kind of miss him.
Prison's tough.
I ordered a cake for the shower for that for Samantha.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to tell you guys to keep up the tuna and egg salad. I like the smell.
Well, we need to get rid of it because she obviously had some sort of a reaction due to the smell.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is eat it really quick so it's not in the air. But if you want to come smell our breath before we wash it down with tortilla chips, feel free.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah, just conference me in.
Hey, Matt, thanks for giving me what I needed earlier today.
Hey, anytime, Mike.
You know, I developed something today.
Develop?
On my own. They're T-shirts. They have Chip's face on them that I want everybody to wear. And one for Samantha that says Baby Chip.
Oh, man. It says smells like sex on him.
It does. It does. I I'll admit, I stole that phrase from Adam and Eve, but still, I think people can wear them and like them and remember Chip as we all want to remember him.
I agree. I think this is a really great step for you. You're not only a thiever, but you're an inventor.
That's what I've been trying to be, and now I am. Here, wear this shirt.
Hey, here?
It's too small. I'm so sorry. I can't even get that right.
Hey, you know what? Baby steps.
I like your belly.
I like it too.
Hey, you guys. This might sound weird, but I bought you guys a sub.
Oh.
Yeah. It's.
We just ate.
Well, okay. Well, maybe you guys want to maybe hang on to it, eat it later, and just let me know when you're going to eat it.
Mmm, smells good.
Yeah, it's half tuna on the top, and it's...
What the hell is that smell?
It's half egg on the bottom, and it's got a layer of pepperoni in between.
What did they call that at the sub shop?
They actually asked me about 3 times. It's called just a custom order.
Oh.
Just a custom order.
You know what? I like it. Even though I'm full, it really smells good.
Well, I was just hoping maybe I could hang around while you guys ate that.
Well, I just had a sample, but I could eat like just this end, maybe.
Yeah. That's good enough for me.
I'll cut that for you there. Why don't you take that end, and I'll take this end, and then we'll have the middle for tomorrow.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, that's it.
What the hell is that?
That's none of your business. They're eating lunch.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get an auction ready for all of Chip's former stuff.
That's a good idea.
You know, I want his mouse pad. It's got that picture of Donald Duck on it.
You'll have to pay for it, Tom. It'll be in the next scene.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to a baby shower before? Maybe we should buy some of that stuff as gifts.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you bring to baby showers.
I've never been. They didn't have them in prison.
Hmm.
It was a guy's prison.
Well, usually what you do is you get the gifts for the baby to be. So swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
Bassinet.
Yeah.
Chip had like some highlighters. That's like markers. Kids like markers.
All right. First item up for bid, Chip's bassinet.
Bassinet?
Yeah, Chip had a bassinet in his cubicle. He just left it.
Look, it says it's already monogrammed. Chip Jr.
$5.
$10.
Sold.
Huh.
Wait. I didn't. Okay.
And let's see. I've got these highlighters that have Chip written on them.
$5.
$7.
Okay.
$8.
$10.
Sold.
Hey.
What?
Jeez, Mike.
Nice. Oh,
I missed
nice.
Chip. I missed
nice
Chip.
Job.
Nice Chip.
He was the only one who would volunteer for the implant after I asked all of you.
He was brave.
He was brave. He was very brave.
Are those some sprinkles that Chip had?
Yeah, I've got some sprinkles here.
Cake sprinkles?
They're pink.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? The cake just arrived for the shower.
$5.
$10.
Should we put the sprinkles on the cake?
I guess.
Sure. And we've got a gigantic cake here. What's going on with this one?
$10.
Sold.
What?
I spent $75 on that cake.
That's from Willette Bakery. That's an expensive cake.
This is an ice cream cake.
You know what? This is You know what? They hooked up with Dairy Queen.
Oh,
and they're going to be doing ice cream cakes together. Well, that's in Dairy Queen.
Hey, Mike, you should go work for them. They
what? What?
I mean,
nothing.
The reality is that I probably would do very well at Dairy Queen.
Because... Well, let's just stole this idea from Dairy Queen. I should go.
Guys?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I made t-shirts for all of us.
Oh.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Samantha.
Oh, wow.
They all have Chip's picture on it.
Oh, Chip.
It says it smells like sex.
Smells like sex.
It did. And then I have one for you, Samantha. It says, Baby Chip. And on the back it says, I made this.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much. I just came back from visiting Chip and...
Oh, how is he? I miss him.
I'll let him know that next time I go back.
Bring him a t-shirt.
He's never coming out, you guys.
Did he?
He got life.
That means he'll be a top.
Anyway, with thanks for like coming that. To my baby shower that I threw for myself.
Well, it's the least we could do, Samantha. Yeah. We hope you like your cake. Look, it has a stork on it.
Looks amazing. And now we can... It says 25 to life. We can just take off the 25 because we know it's going to be for life.
I'll lick the frosting off. So it just says life.
Thanks.
I paid for it, guys. I can do what I want with it.
I'm sorry. Sam, I was going to get you something, but I lost all the auction bids. No, it's... Okay. You know what? I was eating candy earlier, if you want to smell my breath.
No, it's cool. You know,
His shirt smells like sex and candy now.
Like Marcy Playground.
Oh, God. I was going to ask you if you wanted to go get a cup of coffee or something later, but it seems you're busy.
No, I'm not busy. Look, I've been watching Chip for years. I've learned so much from him.
I've been watching you watch Chip for years. That day I walked in the office, Phil, was to meet you.
What?
Yeah, Chip just gave me that look, and I kept trying to look past it. Because I came in there to meet you and to see if I could take you out to lunch or something that day. You look so lost, like a sad little puppy.
Just always thought of myself as his apprentice, so when a cute girl walked in the room, I just naturally assumed it would go to the alpha dog, Chip.
Well,
wow.
Maybe that alpha dog isn't going to ever come back, and maybe there's room for another alpha dog. And maybe the alpha mom is looking for an alpha dog to raise little alpha.
Don't tell HR headquarters, but I'm going to hug and kiss you now.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I was eating tuna.
Hey, Philip, I'm going to leave this company. And hey, I'm real sorry that I tried to steal your corner from you.
Look, all I need is the corner. Look, I used to think that I was less of a person because I only had this tiny corner of this cubicle, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Even now, the whole cubicle empty, just me.
Mm-hmm.
Corner's all I ever needed.
And I just realized how happy you were being in the corner. And I don't need the corner. I don't need it. Sometimes I feel like I just need to get everything that everybody else has. And I mean, who am I fooling? I'm plenty fine on my own.
You're moving up even though you're not qualified for anything.
I'm not qualified for anything. Nobody realizes it. Or even if they do, they keep giving me stuff anyway. Boy, talk about self-loathing.
What, are you an improviser? Because I'm also an improviser.
I'm an improviser.
We work at the same company and we both do improv?
Do you want to go into the break room and put some paper over the...
We should... No, you can't put paper...
No, that's right, because then they think that they're firing people.
You want to form a group?
Yes. What do you want to call it?
Next at Bat.
Next at Bat!
And that's our show. Thank you to Nimblicity. Thank you to Sam Baker Harris, Sean Dillon, Mike Dalavell, Adam Litz, Jen Scott, who was here for a little while, and Tom Winter. Maureen Tubbs and Jordan Boehner couldn't be here, unfortunately. You can see Nimblicity at Huge Theater for a new time slot. That's 6:30 on Fridays at Huge Theater. That's 3037 South Lindale Avenue. And you can check out everything that's happening over at Huge at www.hugetheater.com.
Yeah, they got their own special time slot, Nimblicity Happy Hour, 6:30.
Right.
$7 gets you admission and a beverage.
Beverages are always fun. So, Philip, what is going on in your improv life these days?
This month's musical guest for the local music scene is Courtney McLean from the Dirty Curls. That is next weekend, Sunday, May 31st, 7 o'clock at Brown Lake Bowl Theater.
You can see me with Drew Kirsten in Drew and Matt over at the Bedlam Lower Town show at Bedlam on the 28th. I believe that show starts at 7:30, although I don't have that in front of me right now. And that is going to kick off Drew and I playing a lot of shows this summer. We're going to be at the Omaha Improv Festival that weekend, the 29th through the 31st. And then later in the month of June, we're going to be playing the Twin Cities Improv Festival, and we have several dates in June as well.
That also reminds me, this Thursday, if you're in Minneapolis instead of St. Paul, you can see Eric Nelson and I roast each other in the Thursday night joke fight over at Comedy Corner Underground, 8 o'clock on Thursday.
That is a fun show. So yeah, if you're in Minneapolis, go see that. If you're in St. Paul, come see me and Drew. So, Philip, how can people get a hold of us?
They can follow us on Facebook.com/NextAtBat. Send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
It'd be nice if people would do that someday.
We would value that.
I would probably retire.
And you can check out us and other amazing podcasts at noisepicnic.com.
There are a lot of really good ones on there. Check us out on iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review. Using your words makes everybody better.
Yeah.
Tune in next week when we're going to have a brand new guest. But until then, as always, it smells like sex.
And candy.